So wonderful that during this season of Advent, we celebrate this feast of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, this season in which Mary is really so much the star of this season. But our gospel today, which tells the account of the Annunciation, the coming of Gabriel to announce to Mary that she would be the mother of God, this gospel today on this feast has also created some confusion over the years. Because when people hear the term Immaculate Conception of Mary, sometimes they think that it refers to this gospel, where Mary conceives Jesus, as she says, even though she does not know man. People think that, therefore, that means Jesus was immaculately conceived, meaning that he had no earthly father. And that's not at all what the Immaculate Conception refers to. This gospel tells of the virgin birth, the fact that Mary conceives Jesus purely by the Holy Spirit. That is the virgin birth of Jesus, his virginal conception. The solemnity that we celebrate today, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, has to do with Mary's conception in the womb of her mother, Anne. Sometimes people see our little statues over here, and they see Joseph, and then they see a woman and a child, and they think that, well, that must be Joseph, and over there, that must be Mary and Jesus. But of course, if you go over and look closer at our statues, you'll see that that's a woman and a young girl on the left. That woman is actually St. Anne. The statue over there is of St. Anne and of Mary as a young girl. Today's feast celebrates the fact that Mary was conceived in the womb of St. Anne completely without sin. That's what the word immaculate means. Mary did not suffer original sin, and through her whole life, she never committed any personal sin. That is what we celebrate today, this great mystery, this great gift of God to Mary. We might ask, now, why was this necessary? Well, I suppose, strictly speaking, it wouldn't have been necessary. But if you think about it, you know, Jesus gets to choose his own mother from all eternity. And if you could choose your mother and had the power to, wouldn't you make her the most beautiful, the most perfect woman that you could? And that's exactly what Jesus did for his mother, Mary. Through the mystery of time, Jesus, through his death on the cross, was able to apply that to Mary ahead of time, as we prayed in our opening prayer, that Mary was preserved because of the death of Jesus from all stain of original sin. So if it's not necessary, though, we've always said in the history of the church that it's very fitting, very appropriate, that Mary would be the most perfect human being ever to live. But why did God do this then? I think if we look at it, it's because Mary had a very special mission. She's the only one in the history of the world to ever be the mother of God. And therefore, she's also the only one in the history of the world to be immaculately conceived. It is a singular privilege given to Mary because of the greatness of her mission. She was prepared from even before she was born, even before she was conceived. God knew the mission he had for Mary. In fact, her mission goes all the way back to the book of Genesis that we began with in our first reading. Just as Eve, the first woman, failed to live God's command, notice the prophecy. From you, your seed, will come one to strike the head of the serpent. Mary is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Mary is the new Eve, the one that succeeds where the first Eve failed, and from her comes the seed, the Son, the one who indeed strikes the head of the serpent and draws that great death blow to Satan on the cross. So today, as we honor Mary, I think it would be a mistake if we simply were to hold up Mary and say, look at her, isn't she beautiful? Isn't it wonderful what God did for her? That's all true. But if we just kind of put Mary on a pedestal today and just look at her, I don't think that's why the church gives us this feast. You see, just as Mary received a special gift because of her mission, and her mission was very unique, even so, we too have our mission. And God has prepared us and given us everything we need for our mission. Now, probably our mission is certainly not to become the mother of God, but our mission is important. Indeed, God has given to each of us a mission that he gives to nobody else. And because of the specialness of each of your missions, God gives you the gift that you need. In Mary's case, it was the Immaculate Conception. What are the gifts that God has given you? And what is your mission? We'd like to think that we should just know it. Certainly, we would think that, well, if Mary had been prepared her whole life to be the mother of God, from all eternity prepared, we would think that she would know it. But yet, we see in the gospel that when Gabriel finally shows up after all that time of history waiting, well, he comes and Mary, it's not like he recognizes him and says, "Oh, Gabriel, you know, I was wondering when you'd get here. I knew you were coming, and, you know, thank goodness you finally showed up. I'm ready to be the mother of God now." We don't see that. Mary is confused. She's even afraid. She's had all this life to prepare. God has prepared her forever. And when the moment finally comes, she's unprepared. She wonders, what is going on? What is this greeting? Who is this angel? And yet, we see that God works, and through that beautiful gift, Mary says, "Yes, may it be done to me," fiat in Latin. What will we say to God's call to us? Because if we have our mission, a mission that God has prepared for us from all eternity, and it's given to no one else, and God has given us everything we need for our mission, well, we've got to figure out what it is, first of all, which means we have to pray, discern, to be ready to receive our mission. But when it comes, maybe we should suspect that it will find us a little bit off guard, maybe a little fearful even. The question is then, as we look at Mary as our example of someone who says yes to God, even in the face of great uncertainty, I think that's a good thing to hold her up, to put her on a pedestal, to say, look at her. When God asks us, when it's time for our mission, what will we say? Will we be able to say yes like Mary?